بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble Prophet, the believers of his family and the companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Riyadh al-Salihin chapter on repentance, and this is hadith number 13. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول والله إني لأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه في اليوم أكثر من 70 مرة. رواه البخاري. أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, by Allah, I seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to him more than 70 times a day. And in hadith number 14, the next hadith, وعن الأغر بن يسار المزني رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس توبوا إلى الله واستغفروه فإني أتوب في اليوم 100 مرة. الغر بن يسار المزني, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, turn you people in repentance to Allah and beg pardon of him. I turn to him in repentance 100 times a day. This is narrated by Muslim. In the previous discussion, we talked about tawbah, the meaning of tawbah, of repentance, and its conditions, and the evidences on its obligation. And these two hadiths, which the author rahimahullah mentioned, are textual proofs from the sunnah. And when evidences are replete, then the matter is strong and more emphasized and more obligated. So he mentioned the hadith of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, in which the Prophet ﷺ made an oath that he asks Allah's forgiveness and repents to him more than 70 times. And this is the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the one whom Allah forgave him his previous sins and his latter ones, seeks forgiveness from Allah 70 times in a day. And in the second hadith, the hadith of Al-Aghar bin Yasar Al-Muzani, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, turn you people in repentance to Allah and beg pardon of him. I turn to him in repentance 100 times a day. These two hadiths indicate the obligation of tawbah, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered that and said, ya ayyuhan nasu tubu ila Allah, O people, turn in repentance to Allah. And when the person turns in repentance to Allah, he will gain two benefits. The first benefit is ascribing to the command of Allah, compliance. And in this, there is all good. This is the matter upon which happiness in this life and the hereafter depends upon, meaning compliance. The second benefit that the believer will gain is following the example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he alayhi salatu wasalam used to make repentance 100 times a day, meaning he used to say atubu ila Allah, atubu ila Allah, atubu ila Allah, I repent to Allah, I repent to Allah, I repent to Allah. And tawbah must be based on truthfulness. such that the person, when he makes the tawbah, abandons the sin. And for the one who repents by his tongue and his heart is established on the sin, or on abandoning an obligation, or that he makes tawbah by his tongue and his body parts insisting on doing the sin, then his tawbah does not benefit him. Rather, this is closer as being making mockery of Allah. If a person deals with another person like him, a human being, with this kind of treatment, then people will say that he makes fools of them and mocks them. Then what about the Lord of all that exists? Some claim that they repent from riba, from usury. However, indeed, they are insisting on it, manifesting this openly, and also manifesting this in a deceptive manner. And the one who deceives in this is worse than the one who openly practices the usury. Because the one who does it in a deceptive manner criminalizes himself in two ways. First, falling in usury, doing the haram. Secondly, deceiving Allah Azza wa Jal, thinking that Allah does not know. Wal-iyadu billah. And this is quite common amongst many people nowadays, those who deal with riba. They come to a poor person, for example, and they know that this poor person needs certain things from a grocery store or from a place. He needs certain commodity. So he sells this commodity to this poor person in a superficial way. In a superficial way. Superficial transaction. Everyone knows that it is not really real. So he sells it for him, like for 10,000 for 1 year. Sells the poor person this commodity for a price of 10,000 over 1 year to be paid. And then he leaves without taking the commodity from its place. So this poor person who bought it sells it to the owner of the store for 9,000, for example. So this poor person now is taken through two ways, from the side of the one who lent him and from the side of the owner of the store. And they tell him that this is a way of correcting things. Is this correcting? This is sinful. Wal-iyadu billah. So therefore, it's a must, if we are truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we abandon sins truly and regret doing them, so that the tawbah becomes sincere. In these two hadiths, there is evidence that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most fearful of Allah amongst all, and the most pious of all, and most keen in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and most knowledgeable of Allah, and that He is the teacher of good in sayings and in actions. He used to ask Allah for forgiveness and command the people to do so that they take him as an example. And this is from the perfection of his advice, alayhi salatu wasalam, his advice for the ummah. And thus we should follow him. Whenever we hear his command, we should be the first to comply. And whenever he commands us to refrain from something, also we should be the first to refrain. This is the reality of the caller to Allah and the call to Allah. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam commands us to do tawbah, while he alayhi salatu wasalam makes tawbah more than us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept repentance from us and to guide us to it, and all success is from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings the end of the discussion of these two hadiths, and then we move to hadith number 15. وعن أبي حمزة أنس ابن مالك الأنصاري خادم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله أفرح بتوبة عبده من أحدكم سقط على بعيره وقد أضله في أرض ثلاث. Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, the servant of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, verily Allah is more delighted with the repentance of his slave than a person who lost his camel in a desert land and then finds it unexpectedly. And in the narration by Muslim, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ حِينَ يَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ كَانَ عَلَى رَاحِلَتِهِ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَا فَانْفَلَتَتْ مِنْهُ وَعَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ فَأَيْسَ مِنْهَا فَأَتَى شَجَرَةً فَاطَّجَعَ فِي ظِلِّهَا وقد أيس من راحلته فبينما هو كذلك إذا هو بها قائمة أو قائمة عنده فأخذ بخطامها ثم قال من شدة الفرح اللهم أنت عبدي وأنا ربك أخطأ من شدة الفرح. This is the narration by Muslim. This version of Muslim is as follows. Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his servant than would be one of you who were to lose his riding camel, which carries his food and drink in barren desert, and losing all hopes of finding it, he were to lie down in the shade of a tree and then should suddenly find it standing near him and seizing its nose string, in his extreme happiness should blurt out, O Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. He commits this slip of tongue due to immense happiness and expresses his penitence and seeks Allah's forgiveness on his penitence, Allah is much more pleased. This is the version from the narration by Imam Muslim. The discussion. Anas bin Malik Abi Hamza خادم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the servant of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is because Anas, when he came to Medina, or when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام came to Medina, his mother, the mother of Anas, brought him to the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him, هذا أنس بن مالك يخدمك. This is Anas, the son of Malik, to serve you. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام accepted that, and since then Anas became the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's servant. So in the first narration, Anas رضي الله عنه mentioned that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لله أشد فرحا بتوبة عبده إذا تاب إليه. Verily Allah is more delighted with the repentance of his slave when he repents to him, more than this man who fell off his camel and after he lost his camel. And then he mentioned this story, that this man was in a barren desert, no one around him, having no food or drink with him, and no people. He lost his riding camel, and became desperate. His food was on it, and his drink. While he is in this state, suddenly his camel appears while he was losing all hope of finding it. And then he were to lie down in the shade of the tree, and then suddenly finds this camel standing near him. And so he seized its nose string. There is no way to describe this happiness of this person. No one can imagine his happiness, great happiness for life after death. That's why he took by the string of seizing its nose string and said, Allahumma anta, he bursted impulsively, Allahumma anta abdi, O Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. He wanted to praise Allah Azza wa Jal, to say, Allahumma anta rabbi, O Allah, you are my slave, O Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave. But because of his immense happiness, he erred. His tongue slipped and reversed the order or the matter and said, Allahumma anta abdi, O Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. The benefits of this hadith: first, this hadith has evidence in it, evidence of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his happiness when the person repents to him, and that he, Allah the Most High, loves this matter greatly, not because he needs our repentance and our actions. Allah is free of all of that and free of all wants, but because of his love of generosity. Because of his love of generosity, so he subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to pardon and loves to forgive, this is more beloved to him than revenge and blaming. And that's why he is pleased by the tawbah of the person. And therefore this hadith incites us to make tawbah because Allah loves it, and it is for the benefit of us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gets angry, and that he loves and he hates. But these attributes are not like our attributes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto him, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the all-hearer, all-seer, as in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11. But rather, this is a pleasure befits his magnificence and his greatness, and does not resemble the pleasure and the happiness of the created. And there is evidence also in this hadith, is that if the person says something wrong, commits a slip of the tongue, bursts impulsively, then he is pardoned for that. Here is a person who uttered a statement of kufr. Here, the person uttered a statement of kufr. Because if the person says to his Lord, you are my slave and I am your Lord, this is undoubtedly kufr, disbelief. But because it came due to immense happiness, the person erred. He did not express himself properly, and thus he is excused for that. So therefore we conclude, if the person commits a mistake in a certain word, utters a word of kufr, he is not blamed for that. Of course, this is done unintentionally. For example, if someone insults another person by way of mistake, unintentionally, or he divorces his wife mistakenly without intention, or he frees his slave mistakenly without intention, there is nothing in all of these situations upon him, because the person did not intend anything of this. This is like the issue of oath, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, 225, لَا يُؤَخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Allah will not call you to account for that which is unintentional in your oath. Unintentional. But he will call you to account for that which your hearts have earned. And Allah is of forgiving, most forbearing. This is unlike the one who mocks. The one who mocks at Allah Azza wa Jal, if he utters the word of kufr, mocking, then he commits kufr, disbelief, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated about this in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, 65 and 66. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ ليقولن إنما كنا نخوض ونلعب قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. If you ask them about this, they declare we were only taking idly or talking idly and joking. Say, was it at Allah and His ayat and His messenger that you were mocking? Make no excuse. You have disbelieved after you had believed. Because the one who mocks intends the utterance and its meaning, but he intends it in a way of joking and mocking, and that's why he commits kufr. In contrast to the person who does not intend his word, and therefore he is not held accountable for that. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from Allah's mercy on His slaves, that He pardons them for such mistakes. This brings the end of the discussion on this hadith. Now we move to hadith number 16. وعن أبي موسى عبد الله بن قيس الأشعري رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله تعالى يبسط يده بالليل ليتوب مسيء النهار ويبسط يده بالنهار ليتوب مسيء الليل حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. أبو موسى الأشعري, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Exalted will continue to stretch out His hand in the night so that the sinners of the day may repent, and continue to stretch His hand in the daytime so that the sinners of the night may repent until the sun rises from the west. And the next hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تاب قبل أن تطلع الشمس من مغربها تاب الله عليه. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه said that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who repents before the sun rises from the west, Allah will forgive him. And this is narrated by Muslim, reported in Muslim. And the next hadith, عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله عز وجل يقبل توبة العبد ما لم يغرغر. عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah accepts a slave's repentance as long as the latter is not on his deathbed, meaning that is before the soul of the dying person reaches the throat. And this hadith is Hasan. This hadith is Hasan. It's reported by At-Tirmidhi. These three narrations, which the author rahimahullah cited, all of them are related to tawbah, to repentance. The first hadith of Abi Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will continue to stretch out His hand in the night so that the sinners of the day may repent, and continue to stretch His hand in the daytime so that the sinners of the night may repent until the sun rises from the west. This is from Allah's generosity, that He accepts the tawbah even if it is delayed. So if the person sins in the daylight and during the daytime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his repentance even if he may repent during the night. And also the same, if he sins during the night, and repents during the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah. Rather, He the Most High stretches His hand to receive this tawbah, which originates from His believing slave. And in this hadith, there is evidence for the love of Allah to tawbah. Love of tawbah. Allah loves the tawbah, as we learned also from the former or from the previous narrations about the slave who was lost. He lost his camel in the hadith of that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the repentance of that slave. And from the benefits of the hadith of Abi Musa, إِثْبَاتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَهُ يَدْ, affirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand, and it is as such, He has hands subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah the Most High stated in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 64, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانْ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. The Jews say Allah's hand is tied up, meaning He does not give and spend of His bounty. Be their hands tied up, and be they accursed for what they uttered. Nay, both His hands are widely outstretched. He spends of His bounty as He wills. And we must believe that Allah possesses both hands, and that they are affirmed to Allah. But we should not be under the delusion that they are like our hands, because Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto Him, and He is the all-hearer, all-seer. And therefore, whenever you pass by any of the attributes of Allah, فَأَثْبِتْهَا لِلَّهِ, then affirm it to Allah Azza wa Jal, without making resemblance or drawing parallels to the created, because nothing is like unto Allah Azza wa Jal, neither in His essence nor in His attributes and actions. And we came yesterday or last night on very important points of benefit regarding this matter. So please refer to them, refer to these matters which were discussed last night. Their text is available with the admins. These guidelines on understanding the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever they come in a certain context, we affirm the attributes first, we affirm the obviously understood meaning that comes within the context, and we don't make resemblance or say that the like of the attribute is like such and such. These are the three fundamental matters, and now alhamdulillah the Shaykh came across them in this discussion. Now in this hadith there is evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah from the slave even if it is delayed. However, hastening to make tawbah is obligated. Because why? Because this is what should be, that the person should hasten to do the tawbah. Why? Because the person does not know that suddenly death may approach him, and he may die before repenting. So therefore, al-wajib, what is obligated, is that the person should hasten. Yet even in case he may not, then, and it is delayed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it from the slave. And in this hadith there is evidence that if the sun rises from the west, then this is a time when repentance is not accepted. Now a person may ask the following question: does the sun really rise from the west? knowing that the sun rises from the east? The answer is, we say, yes, this is what is known. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sun until our day, that it rises from the sun, from the east. But at the end of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the sun to return from where it came. So the cycle is reversed, and then it comes and rises from the west. Then when people see that, they all believe, even the kafirs, the Jews, the Christians, the Buddhists, the communists, and the others, all will believe. However, the one who did not believe before the sun rise from the west, his belief is of no avail to him, no benefit. Why? Because this is a sign seen by everyone. And when such signs come, then there is no beneficial benefit and there is no beneficial faith. Now, the hadith of Abi Huraira mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah before the sun rises from the west, like the hadith of Abi Musa. However, in the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah from the slave before, as long as he does not examine death, meaning yugharghir, when the soul reaches the throat. So when the soul reaches the throat, there is no more tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 18, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them and he says, now I repent. Nor of those who died while they are kafirs, disbelievers. For them we have prepared a painful torment. So if it takes place before the throat reaches the, before the soul rather reaches the throat, then that is considered. Then that is considered, as we explained the other day in the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam. So therefore, we should hasten to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal from sins and ask Him to accept that from us. And all success is from Allah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we have covered, alhamdulillah, from hadith 13 all the way through hadith 18.